We just sung a prayer. He light the fire again, right? So let's pray that he'll use the word to light that fire this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you today that we can come. We thank you that you give us your spirit. Because we know you, that you give us that spirit that will light the fire in us. And Father, we may come. Some of us may be coming today. We're not sure we want to hear. We're not sure what we want to hear. Others are ready to go. And Father, I just pray, though, that it's always your spirit that draws us. And Father, might you do that today. Might you focus on your word. Might you give us a heart to hear. Father, prepare us for what you have for us. And if it's something that we need to take a step in, might you give us just the strength, the courage, just the step off with you. And so, Father, I pray that you just would give us that heart today to obey what we hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to come back to Galatians one more time. Remember I told you, I'm going to come back one more time because I missed that day. I was sick, so I still have something to say from Galatians. So we missed the last couple of weeks. We kind of skipped over that, or we kind of hopped around the one passage I was going to do. And it's been great. We've had this time to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and to realize this. And as we've been in Galatians, we've been talking about this idea of being free. And that's been the focus of Galatians. It's how to be free. And that's something that, you know, as we think about it, all of us, that we desire freedom. We are looking for this expression of finding ourselves. Isn't that really what we talk about a lot? I mean, that in our culture today, that's what this is all about finding ourselves. We were actually talking about this as we prayed before the service, and we were talking about this idea, and this came up, this idea that, you know, our world is looking for identity, and we find it less and less because we make more and more options, don't we? And we just know there's something missing, so it might be a midlife crisis. And you think, man, I've got to this point when I'm 40, 50, wherever your midlife crisis comes, you know, kind of thing. And all of a sudden you start saying to yourself, well, maybe there's something I missed. So you look for options, isn't that right? Because that's freedom. I want to look for myself. And we see that today even in our sexuality, don't we? We kind of struggle. We have these struggles about who we are, men and women and so on. So what do? We provide more options because we think that sets us free. Isn't that right? And as we look for more and more options, we think that's freedom. But in fact, many times, the more options we have, the less free we feel. You ever feel like that? I sense that. You know, I got used to, when I was watching TV, I remember when I was growing up, you watch TV, you had four channels where I was at. We had four channels, you know what I mean? And when you wanted to watch something on TV, you didn't have much choice. And it was easy. You just decided. You had to take what you got. I didn't have VCR, nothing. I mean, it was like what was on the TV or you go do something else. And it was easy choices. And I've had a hard time adjusting to this world now where you have hundreds and hundreds of choices and then you can record it and watch it later or go online and go to whatever movie site and get your queue list and you can do all that. It's just way too much work and I don't feel free at all with the choices. I feel like I'm bound because I'll go on Netflix, our son will let us get in on his Netflix, and I'll be flipping through, and Roxy goes nuts because I will spend an hour looking through the options, and then I won't watch anything. I'll just go turn on the TV and see what's on, because see, that's a lot easier. But you see, this is our understanding. As we think about what freedom is, we recognize that freedom isn't always what we thought it was. And in Galatians, we've been looking at this idea, what is freedom? And we've been understanding that freedom comes as I surrender my life to Christ. That I am justified by what? Faith. And it's that phrase that's been coming across, and I've been saying all throughout this whole thing. And you get sick of it, because Paul was talking about it all the time. He's coming back and says, our bias is to want to do something for God. And he says, you can't do nothing. You got to surrender to me, and then you got everything. By faith we are justified. By faith we are declared not guilty. That's been the message. And the message that he was with the Galatians, they were hearing these people saying, well, you got to add circumcision. You got to add really being good. You got to add some stuff. It's good Jesus died on the cross, but then you got to add some stuff. And he said, that's not freedom at all. You see, that the law was given so we understand how much of a slave of sin we are, and thus we need to surrender ourselves to him. And that's what he's been talking about. And And as we got to the end of Galatians, he spent, you know, 5 chapters saying that same thing over and over and over. And then, you know, we got to the end and he starts saying, here's what that looks like. Because his question still is, if I'm going to be free, you got to tell me what it looks like, right? What does that mean that I'm free? What do I do with my freedom? Because now all of a sudden in Christ we have choices. We don't really have choices otherwise, do we? And now we have these choices, and the question is, what is it that we're supposed to do as we're new in Christ? He's made us new, and we've found that it was summed up in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 13. He said, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. And it's and in Galatians, the whole point of it is that when we're free, what we're free to do is to serve other people in love. To serve one another. That's what we're free to do. See, the world doesn't see that as freedom, does it? Freedom is like, man, I don't have to have any kids around. I don't have to work no more. I can do whatever, I can travel to wherever I want to go and do whatever I want to do. Serving others, well, if it fits in, if it makes me feel good, it's okay. But see, our freedom was designed to serve, to set us free, to serve. Because you see, everything in us is this desire. And it's true. You look around. You look around. Our community here is full of service projects. You notice that? Every weekend you can do something. I think there's something going on today, some kind of walk or run or something, you know, that's going on. And you're raising money for stuff. And people love doing that stuff. It's in our heart to serve. You see, God has created us to serve. But you know, when we get self-centered, then we don't serve anymore. We serve ourselves. And after a while, that gets to be kind of empty. Even when we're trying to serve other people and we try to feel good and we got to do more and more stuff because we got to keep feeling okay because we are doing it really for us. And we've been set free. And that's what he's saying here. We've been set free to do those things. And so he's been giving us this list, and a few weeks ago, we were looking at this list that he gives us at the end. He gives us a list of things of what it means to be free in Christ. He's given us a checklist. And he kind of leads up to that by talking about him in chapter 5 there, verse 16. He talked about the spirit and the flesh is going at each other. Remember that? And we got so in Christ now we're in the spirit, but we got that flesh that's running around, you know, like a chicken with a head cut off. It still looks like it's alive, but it ain't. We got this decision that the spirit and the flesh are at battle with each other. Okay? There's this conflict going on. But see, we've won. The flesh is a chicken with its head cut off, right? It's not, and so we need to choose. But he gives us this definition. He tells us, he shows us the acts of the sinful nature. It's all this chaos and stuff. And he talked about the acts of the sinful nature of the flesh is sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, so on and so forth. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he talked about those two things, and he's saying, choose the Spirit. Choose the Spirit. And so he's been talking about that, and he gave us this list. And that brings us now to where we're going to pick up today. And then we started looking at this list, that he starts in verse 24. He reminds us there, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, the flesh, with its passions and desires. He says, it's been crucified, it's dead, it's a chicken with its head cut off, okay? It's dead. It may still be running around in the yard, but it's dead, okay? So we aren't bound by those desires and passions anymore. That's what he's saying. He said, that's the basis for this. And then he says, now here's what you choose to do. And he summed it up by this. He said in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we were looking at. We took a look at our list that's about keeping in step with the Spirit, right? That we need to be keeping in step, stepping out in the Spirit, and what that means and what the priority is there. And he picks up this idea that we're to be serving one another. He focuses on that. It means a lot more. Galatians just is a fairly narrow list. We see that in other places as well, the stuff that involves. But here he specifically focuses in on what it means to serve one another. Okay? And here's the list. So he says, here's your list of stuff you should be doing. If you're going to live free, here's the list. And we started looking at it. I'm going to read this whole passage here through verse 10 and to kind of get our list here and just to be reminded of some of the things we've already looked at. In verse 26, he starts the list. So after he said that we need to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, he says, let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The man who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So that's our list there. And so the things that we looked at before, we see the first part of the list. He first of all said, you ought to have a, you know, stepping out free means that you know who you are. You have a proper view of yourself. You're not, you know, noticing, so you aren't provoking each other. We're not envying each other. I said, I'm good with who I am, and I don't have to be picking on other people. Okay? I don't have to be causing drama. That's the first thing, to step out free. I mean, the most unfree thing in the world is to get involved in drama. Isn't that right? Because it sucks you in. I just think of it as this vortex. And you know, when people that are, when we're in drama, it's just like, we're all a bunch of this. And man, you just get in the circle a little bit and just sucks you in. Tell me you're free. He says the first thing, if you're stepping out free, you know who you are. Okay? You know who you are in Christ. You're not provoking, you're not envying others. And then he goes on, he says, also stepping out free is that we're restoring one another. When someone messes up, we don't just say, you're bad. We restore each other. We step in. We seek to restore them. We talked about that. Then he also says that we need to be, if we're stepping out free, we're also then carrying one another's burdens. So that was if, you know, as life gets overwhelming, we step in and help each other before something happens, right? You got the load, and we step in and we carry one another's burdens. That means we allow others to carry our burden sometimes, and we carry it for others, and we do it together. And the light and the weight gets lighter, right? When we do it together. And that's when we're stepping out free, it's like we're not on our own. Don't we think of freedom as being I'm on my own? If I screw up, I gotta get straight. If I load it down, I gotta handle it. He says, No. Being free is understanding you got others with you. That's being free. I think sometimes that's the part I see myself most where I don't live free. I think I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need nobody. Freedom is knowing I need body. I need people. Okay? And so he says that. And then he also says that stepping out free means I'm also taking care of my own stuff. I carry my own load as well. I don't just kind of like, just be a case all the time, right? Oh, you know, everybody's got to carry me because I'm a case. No, he says, carry your own load. That we need to be stepping up to living free is also knowing who I am and knowing that I can contribute. I got something to contribute. So that's been our list so far. Now he's going to pick up the list. And so those are the things. So it's knowing who I am. It's understanding that I'm with others and we carry each other's burden, but also we take care of our own business. And that's what it means to be living free. That's what it means to be stepping out free, to be keeping in step with the Spirit, okay? So now he continues. And so we kind of continue the list here. And so the next thing he says here is that stepping out free means that I appreciate a growth community. Okay, now what I mean by a growth community is a community of people where I'm growing, where there's an attitude that says we should be learning something. Okay? And it's that we're learning this, and it's important to do that. Because as we see here, we saw in our faith, we see the conflict between the Spirit and the flesh, right? So you've been in the flesh, you come to Jesus, and now you got to figure out how to live for Jesus. Because you know what? You've been playing by your own rules, right? And you got to know how to live in the Spirit. Because there's something about we got to make choices now. So if you got choices to make, then you got to figure out, you got to have someone that, you know, you got to learn what it means. So you need to get new information. And how do you get new information that's helpful? You get in the learning environment. Isn't that right? I mean, it's more than just getting information, isn't it? It's more than just kind of getting, you know, reading a bunch of books. It's about being able to interact with someone and learn how to apply the stuff you know. It's this attitude that says, we're going to appreciate this. Okay? We need to learn in order to grow. And in order to learn, you got to have instructors, right? You need more than, you got to have instructors that kind of can help that whole process. They have information, but they also can set the stage and they can help you understand, how do I do this? And we need this understanding in order to grow. And so if we're going to step out free, we got to be able to get this stuff. And notice that's what he says here next in the list. He says that he talks about here that anyone who sees instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. He talks about this idea that we need to be growing and then showing appreciation for it. You see, he says, notice he says here that he's talking to this group, and he first of all talks about these instructors, and these instructors are people that aren't just giving information. They're imparting wisdom. They're helping you grow. And he says here, notice he describes here that you need to we need to share all good things with them, okay? And this word here for share is actually a word, how many of you here know any Greek? I'll tell them, sometimes I like to show off and say, I know some Greek, right? But you know, the original language of the New Testament was Greek. Well, you probably know one word anyway, koinonia. You ever heard that word? Koinonia? Oh, you know, you haven't heard that word? It's the idea of fellowship. It's the idea of the church. It's this kind of sharing, this mutual sharing. Acts 2, we see koinonia, the church getting together and they're sharing together. It's back and forth. It's mutual. And we see here, he describes here that those that are being instructed are to, it's actually the verb form of that noun, koinonia. You should be kind of fellowshipping with the ones that instruct you. Notice he doesn't say you should be to take care of them. He says you need to share with them. It's this mutual thing, okay? And he's describing, so see what I think here, he's describing this learning environment, because that's what happens. Because, you know, if you think there's somebody, you ever gone to someone and they're just an instructor, so you go to, maybe when you were in high school or if you went to college or whatever, you sat in a class and the professor was up in the front or the teacher was up in the front, and he just imparted information, and you just sat your butt down in the desk, and you just took information and took notes, and then that was it. How much did you learn in that class? You might have got ready for a test, right? You might have got the test right. But unless there was some interaction between you and that teacher, I'd be willing to bet there wasn't as much learning going on that could have been going on there. And the best classes were the places where that teacher would interact with you. And you'd share back and forth. And you were kind of together in the class. Right? And that's what he's saying here. That if we're stepping out free and we're living in this environment, this learning environment, we're showing appreciation with those that teach us. There are those that are set up to, you know, that have giftedness and that can teach and can explain things and can take the time. And I think we all need to be moving into that. We can all be teaching somebody else something as we learn. Because what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be making disciples, right? Which is a learning process that we're all to be involved in. But it's this mutual learning going on. It isn't I get to the point when I know stuff. Sometimes people treat me as a pastor, you know. Well, pastor, you know stuff. Now, are you just going to set me down and impart the stuff to me? Right? That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a mutual learning. And I tell you what, What really excites me, this is one of the things I like about Wednesday night, because we have this conversation going on back and forth, and you know, I'm learning stuff. And it's like sometimes someone will come with something and think, man, I never thought of that. You see, you're sharing. We're sharing together the process. That's what he wants. That's what he's saying here. So that's appreciating a learning experience. Now, in this context here, it probably includes those that we see in 1 Timothy that Paul there says that those that are elders that are running the church, and especially those that are preaching and teaching, should get a double portion. There's a sense that it's good to pay those that spend extra time doing this. Okay? But I don't think you have to pay everybody that teaches. But it's this idea that there are those that get hired as well, that are paid so that they can focus in on that. And that's probably part of it here. What he's saying is that's the attitude we have, that there are those that you need to free up to be able to do that, to spend more time so they can teach and instruct, but you need to share everything with them. No, it's not just paying them a paycheck. See, many times whether we're paying them actual money or not, sometimes that's what we feel about teachers, you know what I mean? Hey, I'm paying you by my attention, so you better make sure, you better give me something. I'm not going to give you nothing. You're going to have to fight me, you know? You're going to have to make me want to learn, right? That's not sharing anything. And you see, I think we see here that when we're living free, that we're in this environment where we want to learn. And when you want to learn, when you interact with a teacher shouldn't be coming and stepping in and saying, I know, you shut up, listen to me. It should be this interaction and this growth together, and we're sharing together. And that's what he's describing here. He's describing this sense that's what should be happening within the body. And when the Spirit, when we're keeping in step with the Spirit, we have this learning attitude, always. We always need to have a learning attitude. We never arrive. You know, and sometimes that you can get to that point where you start to know stuff, right? You start thinking you ain't got nothing to learn no more. And it's like, well, then you're in a bad spot. Okay. Or you can treat teachers like they don't need to learn nothing anymore. So I have people do that with me as a pastor. Okay, I'll ask them a question and think, well, why are you asking me that question? You're the one that has all the answers. Well, no, I don't. I want you to share with me what God's doing in you. You see? And that's the environment we need to have. And see, that sets us free, doesn't it? When we sit together, you know, like in this, on Sunday morning, you know, the venue we have here is I stand up here and I tell you stuff, right? I get some amens and that's great. I want that get that interaction. But we need more than that. We need to be interacting together, and you need to be interacting with me about stuff, and I with you, and we're just appreciating this learning environment. You got to want to learn. If you don't want to learn, then all you're doing is sitting here and getting good information. You see, that's why we need to be together in the body of Christ, isn't it? Because you can sit and listen to a preacher on TV, and you get good stuff. I mean, there's good preachers out there giving you good information. But at some point, you got to interact with somebody. And if you're not doing that, then what are we doing? And he's describing that here, and I think that's one of the things. In terms of living free, stepping out free, keeping in step with the Spirit, is we need to have this attitude where we're learning together. Where we're learning together. And you know, I call you out on this, and sometimes people don't feel like they want to do this because maybe I get a little testy at this sometimes, but you know what? You should be trying to teach me stuff. Amen. And it's okay. I'm good with it as long as you're trying to learn from me too. You know, if it goes one way, then I get a little, you know. But I think that's what we need to be doing, right? Come up and don't say, well, you know, I can't talk to the pastor. I can't talk to the teacher. I can't talk to them because, you know, I don't know enough. That's not the case. See, if we're learning together, it's a process where we learn together. And so if we're keeping a step with the Spirit, that's our attitude. We want to learn. We want to know. We want to grow. We want to understand. We want to get it again. I mean, some of the stuff I hear, some of the stuff I learn is I'm learning it again, right? I forget. I don't know about you, but I forget stuff, right? I forget stuff, and I need to be learning it again. So that's one on the list here, is that we need to be having an appreciation for this learning environment and valuing growth and understanding that's what we need to be doing. Well, the next thing on the list here is he says that we need to be, if we're going to be stepping out free, stepping in the Spirit, we got to understand that focus matters. That focus matters. Now, sometimes we get in this idea that somehow the way we live free is we kind of just let our brain go, right? I'm going on vacation. That's what we think of as being free. And when you go on vacation, how many of you think of thinking about anything? No. I don't think of thinking anything. I think I'm just going to do nothing, right? I'm just going to sit on the beach, and I'm just going to, you know, get my Corona or whatever the heck and put my lime in there. And I'm going to sit on the beach, and I'm just going to look at the waves and just sit there. That's not freedom. When you understand living free, when you understand that focus matters. In verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So whenever he says that, you got to know that there are some ways that we're pressing the issue here. He says, you can't get away with stuff. And here's what he says. He says, a man reaps what he sows. Okay, it's this idea that when you put a certain seed in the ground or where you put it, it matters, what comes up, it matters about what you put in. right? You reap what you sow, okay? And so that's a basic principle. He takes his basic principle of creation and says, you reap what you sow. God isn't mocked. He knows what you sowed, and you will reap based on that. You ever said to yourself, man, I don't know how I got here. Oh, man, you know, my life is all messed up. Or, how did I get here? You haven't taken a look at what you've been doing, you know? It's amazing. I talk to guys in jail sometimes, you know, and so they're saying, I don't know how I got here. And you're thinking, seriously? You know how you got here? Just take a minute and think. Take this time you got sitting in here and just think a minute, and you know, you'll figure it out, right? You may think you were doing okay. You may think you were a hot shot, but you know what? Eventually, you reap what you sow. Isn't that right? And that's what he says here. So then he describes this, what he's talking about. He uses this illustration, and he says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, the flesh, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So this idea of sowing to something is about catering to it, about appeasing it, feeding it, so to speak. It's like you're giving access to it. So that's what he's saying. When you sow to something, you're sowing to what that demands or what that wants, or to kind of foster that, you know. And it's kind of this picture here. He says, first of all, if you sow to the sinful nature, you will reap destruction. It's a mess when we sow to the sinful nature. What does that mean? It means I am working at things. I'm doing things the way the flesh does things. See, we can even do church that way, can't we? Now, what we've been talking about, remember, is that coming to church doesn't give you extra stuff so you're better, right? Because, well, how are we saved? How are we justified? It's by what? By faith. It's not by going to church, right? So you can become, it's good to come to church, but you can become to church in the flesh. You'd be saying, man, you know what? I'm going to church and I got to get closer to, I got to have a little few more points with God because, you know what? And going to church is a good way to get some points with God. Now, that's doing church in the flesh. You understand that? Now, when you sow to that, okay, then you reap what you get from that. Because when you come to church and someone disrespects you by challenging the fact that maybe you aren't as close to Jesus as you want them to think you are, you reap destruction. All of a sudden, you're envying that person. All of a sudden, you're talking behind their back. All of a sudden, you've got a problem, right? So you see, we can sow to the flesh in all kinds of ways. It's about us doing things according to the way the world does things, according to the way the flesh does things. And if you sow to that, that's what you reap. And he told us what we reap with that. Remember in 19 there, in chapter 5, he describes what we reap. Sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. When you do things in the flesh, that's where it takes you. And you can think about it, even things you do, even good things that you do, things that are good to do, that are the right things to do, so to speak, when you do them in the flesh, it's amazing how it gets corrupted. You know? You got a pastor who is sleeping with his secretary. How does that happen? You're sowing to the flesh, right? Don't think you're immune because you're a good person. It's who you sow to. And when you sow to the flesh, it takes you into discord. All I described, discord in churches. You know, sometimes I'm always amazed at the people that think for some reason that churches don't have arguments. That good churches never have struggles. It's like, what? I've had people say, well, there's no politics in church. Oh, yeah. Because we can sow to the flesh even when we come to church. And when we do it, you reap what you sow. That's just the way it works. You see, so when we reap to the flesh, you get destruction, he says. But then when we reap to the Spirit, notice what it says there. He who sows to please the Spirit, we reap eternal life. And it's not just pie in the sky. You know, someday I'll be up in heaven on a cloud with a harp. Jesus described eternal life in John chapter 17. He said, this is life, that you may know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's what eternal life is. It starts right now. It's about relationship with God. When we sow to the Spirit, when we do things according to the Spirit, when we're trusting the Spirit to walk in with us, we're making decisions according to what the Spirit's telling us. As we allow the Spirit to work in us, we grow in our relationship with our God. You know, people, when we don't feel like God's close to us, It's because we're sowing to the wrong things. When you start sowing to the Spirit, all of a sudden, God starts to be alive in your life. You notice that? It's surprising, isn't it? Many of you have shared this, and you know, you're talking about, I was going this way in my life, and I just was walking along, and all of a sudden, I started just doing what I was supposed to, the Spirit started talking, I started doing it. All of a sudden, God's like, man, God showed up. I didn't realize God would do all that stuff. It's because you have eternal life. You see, when you sow to the Spirit, then that relationship that we have with God starts to become, you start to see it. You start to grow in it. It starts to become something that you see. You reap eternal life. It's a given, you see. It's a given. You see, it's that choice we need to make. It's that focus we need to have that then we reap eternal life. Now, we have this picture, a kind of a description of this that Paul does in Colossians. that's my version of the Bible. We're putting these two things together. No. So it's Colossians, it's chapter 3, and he talks here about focus, and he gives some specifics about focus. In chapter 3 of Colossians, he says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. See, he makes this the choice. Set your hearts on things above. See, it's a choice to make. I can set my things on things below. I can start setting my mind here, setting my heart here. And my heart is my passions, my desires, my want-tos. I start putting those things on what I'm putting my in heaven. I'm looking where Jesus is at. I'm starting to say, well, I want what Jesus wants. See, that's different, isn't it? See, that's different than saying I'm going to church so that I can get some points. When I start saying I want to do what Jesus wants, then when I got my free time, I'm asking, well, what would Jesus want me to do right now? What would I want? What would be joyful to Jesus? Okay? And that's what he's saying. You make that decision. It's a decision you make. That's a decision we make, isn't it? When you're flipping through the channels, what do you watch? You make a decision, don't you? Set your heart on things above. And then he says, where Christ is seated. And then in chapter, verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So he says, he's taking your heart, your want-tos, and then he's taking your brain, your think-tos, the things you're thinking about, and focus those, not on earthly things, but on things above. Start thinking about things above. Start thinking about, when you start, this is what's great. And people kind of, sometimes they'll come to Wednesday night, or they'll come talk to me, or they'll talk to you, and maybe have somebody do this. And they're asking questions about God. And they're like, can I do that? I'm thinking, man, if you're asking questions about God, you're setting your mind on things above. Because, man, when you start looking at God, you start looking at Jesus, and you start seeing some of these things, if you don't have questions, then you ain't really looking. Isn't that right? And if you're setting your mind on those things, you're going to have questions. And when you're going to start asking questions, then you're going to start looking for answers. And you're going to get in the scriptures, and all of a sudden things are going to start to make sense because you're setting your mind up there. You're not trying to figure out if so-and-so on some reality show is actually going to make it to the end or not. You're not going to spend your time, I do this a lot, analyzing the sport, listen to the sports channel, and listen to all of the stats about everything to figure out who's going to go in the next draft on Thursday before it happens. So you spend all your time trying to figure out how with your mock draft or your fantasy football league, how to win. You're spending all your time and putting all your logic and all your mind in it. That's okay, but when you spend all your time on it, shouldn't you rather be putting your mind figuring out what it means to live for Jesus? And you do that by setting your mind on things above. What are you sowing to? And then he goes on, he says, in verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Okay? So put it to death. So you make a decision, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's part of what you do when you set your mind on things above. Okay? Here's the things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do this stuff. I'm going to say no to this stuff. Then in verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Does that sound like the fruit of the Spirit? He's saying, make a decision to do the stuff like that. So you put that stuff on. You're making decisions. That's what it means to focus. Living free means you focus. Okay? Living free means you focus. And you know how important it is to focus. Because you reap what you sow. And if you want your life to reflect the life in you, in Jesus, then you got to make decisions about what you focus on. And there's all kinds of lists. We don't have time to go into all those. There's this list in Galatians. You go to Ephesians, it's put on, put off. He does the same thing there. He says all the things you're put on, put off. And you look at the scriptures, all the things there that you're supposed to decide on, right? Set your mind on things above. Set your heart on things above. Because focus matters. Okay? Well, the next thing here on the list is that we got to understand that when we're stepping out free, is that we understand that good will always happen. That it's good to keep focused, that doing good is worth it. Okay? That doing good is worth it. Ever had that time when you feel like you wonder if good does any good? Because we get frustrated, don't we? You say you've been doing the right things, been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and life still doesn't work. Right? And you're just saying, you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. And we get discouraged. Paul, with the Galatians, how did he start out Galatians? He says, I can't believe what you guys are doing, right? I can't believe it. Okay? I can't believe it. So there's frustration, and you start saying, maybe it's not worth doing this. Maybe I should go back and do what I used to do, because, man, I used to have a good time. If I do good, it seems like I get bad in return. Should I keep doing this? But he says here, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we will not give up. He uses this principle of harvest again. Isn't that right? And a farmer knows this, even if he doesn't know how it works. If he plants the seed, he knows he's going to have to wait for the seed to come up, right? If he plants the seed one day, goes out the next day and says, I haven't got any corn, and he goes and he says, well, maybe I need to plant some more. Maybe I need to plow this up, and I need to start over. You'd say he's nuts, right? Because he knows if he plants the seed, and does he just then sit around? No, he goes out and he tends to it. He gets the weeds out. He fertilizes it, does all that stuff. But he doesn't walk out there every day and say, oh my goodness, I should stop because there isn't any corn. He knows he has to wait. And he does good while he's waiting. Isn't that right? And he knows that he will reap what he sown. But you got to know it's worth it to do good and to keep doing good. And when you're free, you know it's worth doing good. You know it's worth doing good. Now you might say to yourself, well, what did he say doing good? What is he talking about? Well, there's all kinds of things we could say with this, but there's one kind of succinct list or kind of a succinct description of what it means to do good. And this is found in Micah chapter 6. And we read here that Micah's a prophet to Judah, and he's telling them all things are going to happen to them because of their just lack of really worshiping the way they're supposed to be worshiping, and they're offering all these sacrifices, and he's saying, you know, is that what God wants? He just wants you to be off making offerings? Will it please the Lord if you offer 1,000 rams? That's what he's saying. He's saying, will that help? Will that God be satisfied with that? And these people don't know, obviously. And then in verse 8, he says, he showed you, O man, what is good. And what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? He says, first of all, to act justly. You could translate that to do justice. To do what's right. To make things right. To seek to make things the way they're supposed to be. To do justice. That's what it means to do good, that you should try to make things the way they're supposed to be, the way God says they're supposed to be. He says, do justice. But then he says, to love mercy. Or you could say loving kindness. It's kind of this caring concern for people. Love caring for people. So notice, when we talk about justice, we talk many times about loving justice. People love justice. I want justice done. Yes, I can't wait for justice to be done. Oh, I love justice. But we don't really love mercy. And you see, he's flipping it around here. He's saying, do justice, but love mercy. Care about the people that are falling under the justice, okay? Care about them. Love them. Have an attitude towards them that says, I care about you. That's doing good. It shouldn't be hateful speech. Just because someone has done something that, and because they're, and so we've lost this in our society today, haven't we? If I feel like you're doing something wrong, and perhaps you are, and justice needs, you know, things need to be straightened out, we think it gives me privilege to just rape you. I don't care what view you are. I can just gut you. I don't love mercy. I love justice. No, he says, do justice. Love mercy. And then he says, and walk humbly with your God. If you want to do good, here's what he says. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Get your life right straight with God. Just walk humbly with Him. Understand who you are before Him and have a relationship with Him. If you do that, that's doing good. So He says, remember, when you do that, it will reap a harvest. That's many times when we get stuck, don't we? Oh, I've been good to so-and-so, or justice never happens. It just ain't going to happen. I've been out there trying to do what's right, and I've been treating people with respect, and you know, and I've just been humble before God, and it seems like the people that are out there just, you know, yipping and yapping are the ones that get their stuff. Maybe that's what we got to do. And I tell you, we're tempted to do that in our society today, aren't we? Christians are on Facebook with all kinds of views about stuff and just being, you know, just kind of, you know, poisonous in the way they talk because somehow they feel justified. And they very well might be. You're talking about abortion. You're talking about issues of injustice, of racism in our society. Man, there's justice needs to be done. But it does not excuse me that I can tell you that I hate you. That doesn't go together. That's not doing good, okay? And He says, if we do good, and we don't always get the back from that, right? Many times we say, well, you got to be tougher, you got to be this, you got to be that. No, He says, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And you will reap a harvest. Maybe you won't see it. Maybe we won't see it. But it will reap a harvest. Okay? So, see, when we are stepping out free, we don't let that lack of response keep us from doing what's good, what's right, from doing good. Okay? Well, then the last thing on the list is stepping out free means that we do good for everyone. See, we get selective, don't we? There are people like, well, I'm not going to do good to them. Now remember, doing good is to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with my God. You might say, well, that works good for those people, then that works, and people that are responsive, but you know what? I'm not sure I'm going to do good to everybody because not everybody deserves to be done good to. But look what He says here. He says, back in Galatians here, He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, whenever you have opportunity, whenever there's an opportunity to do this, let us do good to who? All people. I don't care if they deserve it. Because they don't. Because remember, you don't, right? It's not about whether or not you're going to win the argument. It's about doing good to whoever, to everyone, He says. Do good to everyone, to all people. It includes my enemy. Right? So this is when I'm stepping out free, and I don't think you can do this unless you're free. Okay? Because at some point, you are going to react. I was reading something about Tupac. What's his name? The rapper that got killed. Tupac. I'm sorry. I'm putting his first name and his last name together, I guess. Tupac. I'm sorry. I was reading about him, and the night that he got killed, they were describing what happened. And he kind of lived this life of kind of like, you know, he said some amazing things, didn't he? But he lived his life, a kind of a hoodlum life too, didn't he? And he was describing what happened that night. That they thought that what happened, he ran into some enemies or whatever, and someone disrespected him. And it was said there that he couldn't let it go. He had to respond by doing to them to do something bad to them. And what happened that night is they did the same thing to him. You see, that gets us nowhere. See? And we can say that that works and that's what we got to do. I tell you what, it gets us nowhere. And that's what He's saying here. So, and that's what's going to happen, right? But He says we need to do good even to those people that are going to do that. That's what they're going to do to us. When I get disrespected, I don't have to defend myself. Now, it doesn't mean, again, there's all kinds of directions we go with this, and I don't think we need to walk around and you know, be doormats for everybody, okay? So don't take it as that. But if we're walking around and every time somebody, you know, says something they shouldn't to me and I got to make sure they understand they ain't going to get away with that, then we're not doing good to everyone. Okay? We're not doing good to everyone. Because what am I supposed to do to someone who's doing that to me? I'm supposed to love them back. I'm supposed to maybe figure out, why is it you're so mad at me? What is going on here? What is your issue? Maybe it's something I really need to know about. You see, that's doing good to someone else. But to all people. All people. It's hard. Unless you're free, I don't think you can do that, okay? But that's what we're called to. But then he also says, but especially those who belong to the family of believers. You see, it doesn't say we should just go out and then forget the body of Christ. You know, we should be specially taking care of each other in the body of Christ. We'd be looking at other believers. And sometimes, you know, we get tired of each other, don't we? I mean, I got enough of you. I'll go out. I think those folks out there are nicer to me than people in the church. You know? But see, we're called to work at it together. Not just not show up when things aren't going so good in the body of Christ. We need to do good for each other. We need to treat each other with justice and love mercy. Give each other a break. But hold each other accountable, okay? That's doing justice. But walk humbly with our God, especially with each other. And you see, that's what we need to build. We talked about building safe community. That's what it is. If we're building that kind of community, think what happens. We have that kind of community. Man, you know, people walk in here and say, man, these people take care of each other. Man, you know what? That person did that to them, and they're just figuring it out. They're working it out. Wouldn't that be amazing? They're not saying you're all perfect in here. You're not saying everything goes right. That's the misperception people have about church. That somehow when I walk in and someone offends me, it's not supposed to happen at church. Where's God? I'm going to forget that church. That's not the measure of it. The measure of it is when someone says something, do you deal with it together? Do you figure it out? Do you work it out? That's what it is, because we're all going to mess up. If you're looking for the place where you walk in and you're comfortable, you know what? Go to Walmart and go shopping, okay? Because that's what they're there for. Therefore, they're there to make you comfortable and have everything you need at your fingertips. That's what happens at Walmart. That's for shoppers. That's not for disciples. If we're going to be disciples, we have to do good to one another and work it out. Because, man, we're all failing. And God has brought us together because how are we justified? By faith. Because none of us deserves it. And if we're displaying that to one another, the world's going to say, what the heck is going on over there at Neighborhood City Church? What in the world is going on over there? And you see, then we'll know, then we won't worry about new people coming, because we're doing good to everyone, but we're especially there, and they're going to see it. And that will allow us to see others stepping out free. Because you see, they will understand faith, and they will then come to be justified, declared not guilty by the one who has died for them, because they will see the love expressed between us and towards them. And that's stepping out free. So that's our list. Okay? That's our list. So, how are you doing? And you know, I probably should write this list out. How are you doing? How are you about, how do you think of yourself? Have you got a right perspective of yourself? Yeah. Are you caring? Are you seeking to restore others? Are we restoring each other? Are we carrying one another's burdens? Okay. Are we taking care of our own stuff? We taking care of our own burdens. The things that we can handle, we taking care of those things. Are we appreciating, just can't wait for a growing experience to be growing together? Okay? And we understand that we need to focus, make decisions about our lives. Okay? Do we know that? Do we understand that? I can't remember the last two. Okay. Okay. And then also, do we understand that doing good's worth it, and are we doing good to everyone? So you take that list. You take that list this week and start. Just take this passage and just read through that and say, how am I doing with this? And you know how you do it, right? If you're in Jesus today, you just get in line with him. And this is the kind of stuff he's going to point you to. Because you're wondering, you know, well, Pastor Chris, I come to church and I'm trying to think about what is it that God would want me to do? Well, there's one list for you right there. Because if you really start seeking God, you start saying, Holy Spirit, show me what you got. This is what he will lead you to. Okay? And then you say, well, then if I'm going to walk in step with the Spirit, then that's what I got to start working on. Ask the Lord to show you which of those things he needs to work in your life. And then let him start to work those things. Start praying along those lines. Praying for other people. Praying for us as a fellowship. That these are the things that would characterize us as we seek to stay in step with the Spirit. So that it is for freedom that we are set free. And we will not seek to enslave ourselves again to sin, because we are free in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today. I want to thank you that you are a God who has set us free. Father, I want to thank you for this book of Galatians. I just appreciate it so much, just looking at it again and just seeing these things and in just some new ways, just to understand in a fuller way our freedom in you and how we need to live free. And Father, I pray that today, that as we leave here, that we have this final list that you've given to us. And there's many other things that we need to live as we get in step with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray today you would work in our lives. Guide us, direct us, to show us what it means to stay in step with you, and that we would take those steps and follow you and see you being empowering us to live according to what you have for us. And Father, I would pray that we truly would be able to live out this list, live out these things, and you would empower us to do it. So I pray, Father, for each one here today, and that we'd even be sensitive to one another and be asking each other and checking each other on these things and be praying for one another, that we can live these things out, that we can live free, that we can step out free every single day because we know you, Jesus. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we ask these things. Amen.